right, good morning.
Please stand. Our opening song is All Glory, Loud and Honor.
Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, Happy Palm Sunday.
All right. Y'all may be seated. Keep it down to a loud roar. Hey, so today is Palm Sunday, right? What's the deal with Palm Sunday? Leandro? Jesus was riding a donkey. True, factual. Yes? Okay, Jesus was riding a donkey into town. You're doing great. And people were laying down palm branches. In his path. Do you know why? You want to phone a friend? Why? You totally just picked someone on random. That was fantastic. I'm going to start doing that during the sermons, too, now that you've kind of broken the ice on that. So why were people laying down palm branches? To honor Jesus. The first red carpet, which was actually green. Now we've gotten off task, I think. What if green was red back then? Is it blue? Is it black? Yes. I don't know. So you all are going to figure that out in Sunday school. We're going to touch a little bit about that. But for now, I'm going to send you back to Miss Donna because there's some shenanigans going on, right? Holy shenanigans. So, Ariana,
That's you, Leandro. Head back that way. And then what are we doing right now? Give us a minute. Okay. You want to do another greeting? Yes, that is what we're going to do, Matt. That's a good idea. I've got a Palm Sunday reading for you. From the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees, Saul, and they went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. Just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Palm Sunday reading, John chapter 12. Thank you, Matt, for reminding me that that would... What, like stage diving for toddlers?
So, fun story, and that was fantastic, right? Wasn't that neat, seeing our young people come down with the palm branches and join in with the choir? So, right before church, I won't give you any names, Sal, but someone was giving me just a little bit of grief because it was Palm Sunday and there were no palm branches. And I said, if you'll give me just about 10 minutes, I'll work on that for you. So it was less than 10 minutes, right? It was 9 minutes. It was 9 minutes. Well, young folks, have a great morning in Sunday school. We're going to send you back to Sunday school, and we'll have breakfast with you afterwards. Sound good, Addison? Have a great morning. You all were with Miss Brenny this morning? And Miss Alicia? Yes? All right. Well, good. Our call to worship is from Psalm 24. It will appear on the screen in front of you. We'll read responsibly. So I'll say, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And you say,
who is this King of glory? The Lord is strong and mighty.
I say again, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. He is the King of glory. Our prayer of confession is one in which we handle corporately, meaning all of us are encouraged to join in the unison prayer of confession, and that is followed by a time of quiet. So that can be quiet prayer, meditative prayer, time to silently ask for forgiveness. The prayer of unison will appear on the screen, and so I'll say, let us pray together. O King of glory, we confess that our praise of your majesty has often been faint, our performance as citizens of your kingdom treasonous. For we have surrendered to the enemy by our secret and known sins. For our treason you died, Lord Jesus. For our restoration you rose again. Draw us closer to you in this holy week, that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears in our hearts and the wonder of your grace. By the Holy Spirit's continuing discipline, let us be loyal and loving servants of the King. Praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us enter into quiet prayer. Dear friends, hear now the words of assurance. This is from Gospel John, chapter 3. Not John 3:16, but the verse that comes right after, John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the good news. Thanks be to God. Let us stand together as we sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you.
love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Is that what we have to give this morning? All? Let's find out. Have a seat. Your sermon outline is in your order of worship. You're encouraged to follow along if that helps you learn. If it distracts you, then put it into a paper airplane and let her rip. Part 5 of this sermon series, what on earth am I here for? We're looking at the 5 callings of your life. Now, just so you know, today's Palm Sunday, which makes in the church calendar, those of you who've been coming to church for a minute, what's the Sunday that comes after Palm Sunday?
Easter.
Half of you were so confident. That's correct. I have this weird thing that because you're going to be inviting people on Easter Sunday, and Matt and Nyssa have put together this beautiful invite card, right, that on the front it says Easter, and on the back it has the weekends, the Holy Week activities, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because you're going to be inviting someone. And we say that we're all about, well, what 2 things are we all about? Loving God, loving others. If you need a refresher ever, it's right here on the wall. And we want to be a welcoming place. If someone were to show up for their first time on Easter Sunday, and I were to go, man, you missed the first 5 weeks of the sermon series. Where have you been? That may not feel welcoming. So we're going to press pause on this sermon series for Easter Sunday, and then we're going to get back to it. And for those of you who are heading to the great up north, I don't know how great it is, but we'll miss you because it's away from us. It doesn't feel great, but you'll be able to catch up with us online, of course. So next Sunday, we're going to press pause on the sermon series because, why? You're bringing someone to church Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. But now, we've been going through the 5 callings of your life. The 5 purposes of your life. What on earth are you here for? The 5 assignments that God has given you. Number 1, you are called to be loved. God made you to love you. Number 2, you are called to belong. Be loved, belong. Called to belong to God's family, the body of Christ, the family of God, which is called the... I'll tell you what, yes, say it with confidence, either 100 miles an hour, whether it's the right direction or not. You got it. Called God's family, the body of Christ, is called the church. Last week, we looked at the 3rd calling. You're called to become. God wants us to grow up, to mature. God wants us to become who he wants us to be. And so this week, we're looking at the 4th calling on your life. And it is this: you are called to bless. You are called to bless other people. Well, how do you do that? You bless other people when you serve them. It might be physical assistance. It might be you bringing someone to church who isn't confident in their driving abilities. Could be financial assistance. There is a little angel that slips up to the Sunday school teachers every once in a while and hands them free yogurt coupons so that the children can go and get a frozen yogurt or an ice cream. Could be emotional support. You ever given somebody a hug and they say, man, I needed that? You could stop talking as much and start listening twice as much as you talk, right? Mathematically, you got 1 mouth and 2 ears. So what if we used our ears twice as much? You could give someone a phone call. You could give someone a text. You could give someone a loaf of banana bread. There are 1,000 different ways that you can serve the people around you. And when you serve others, the Bible says you actually bless them. So this is your fourth purpose. It's at the top of your outline. The fourth purpose of my life is that God shaped me to serve him. And I'll unpack that by saying that God has uniquely shaped each one of us. I mean, take a look around. Does anybody look exactly like you? Praise be to God. Does anyone look exactly like me? No, there's just one. God has shaped you with these five elements. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but maybe on another sermon. God has shaped you by your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, which are unique to you, your personality, right? Thank goodness that not all of us are 14-year-olds inside. We'd never get anything done, but we'd have a great softball team or a kickball team. Your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. Now, someone over here may have had some of the experiences that someone over here has had, but only you have had all of your experiences. And so God is able to use your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences to shape you. Want to take a guess what spiritual gifts, S, heart, H, abilities, A, personality, P, experiences, E, spells? Woo-hoo! God wired you to be you and shaped you to serve him. The first scripture in your outline is Ephesians 2:10, and it explains this. By the way, this is your memory verse for this week. When you get time for, are we still calling it holy cannoli? The holy guacamole? Holy rice-a-roni. So the small group that meets up at Dane's house is like a food-themed Bible study and everything else. It's something that rhymes with holy, and so they went through cannolis and guacamole. Ravioli and rice-a-roni. It's just so when you get there, you're going to need Ephesians 2:10, and it says this: We are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians chapter 2. It's verse 10. It's in your outline, and it's something that we're all going to memorize this week. And it says what? It says that we are God's workmanship. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's work of art. You are unique. There is nobody like you in the world. And you were created in Christ Jesus to do good. The good works that we do is called service. It's called your ministry. It's called the blessing that you give. It's the way, simply, all of those words mean this. It's the way you help others. The, loving others part of the great commandment is about how we help others. I think you know this, but I don't mind giving you a refresher. You weren't made just to take up space on that pew, breathe, live a self-centered life, and then die. Right? God put you here to make a contribution with your life. We are here to be selfless, and we feel good. We sense God's pleasure when we pour ourselves out to others. We call that service, ministry. The word servant and the word minister, pretty much the same word in the Bible. The word service and ministry are the same words. The fact is, we're all ministers. We're not all pastors. Can you imagine how long Sunday would take if we all gave a sermon? Although that would be fun. And if we just rotated one per week, I would get a 3-year hiatus.
Maybe we ought to pursue this. We're not all pastors, but we are all ministers, right? My job is to administer all of these ministers. So somebody ever asks you, hey, how many ministers does Bayshore Gardens Community Church have? You can say 127, because everyone is a minister. Write this down. My life calling, and it's going to take a minute for me to unpack, so hang in there. My life calling is to be a bivocational minister of Jesus. My life calling is to be a bivocational minister of Jesus. What does bivocational mean? Anybody here wear bifocals? Okay? You got these glasses that are bifocals. It means you can see two things at once, right? You can see far away and you can see up close. And you can see both with clarity if you get the prescription right. When you're bivocational, it means that no matter what you do in life for a paycheck, you do it for two reasons and not for one. Whether you are a truck driver or an attorney or a janitor or a hospice worker, homemaker, teacher, nurse, realtor, shuffleboard player, dealmaker, stockbroker, accountant, farmer, it doesn't matter what you are. If you are a Christian, you are to do this for two reasons. One, to help others, and two, to honor God. Everything I do in life, if I'm a follower of Jesus, is bivocational. I have a job, but in that job, I do it to help others and honor God. To help others and honor God. The Bible says it like this in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it says that whatever you do can be a ministry. It can be a blessing if you do it to honor God and help others. Whatever you do it in the name of Jesus. You can take out the garbage as a ministry. You could change a dirty diaper, whew, as a ministry. You could clean the living room. You could make a deal. You can help somebody across the street. You could hold a door open for someone. If you have a need to drive so slowly, you could drive slowly in the right lane instead of the left lane. For instance, internet. Everything in your life can become a ministry if you do it to help others and honor God. Menial tasks become meaningful tasks when I do it out of love. So then everything in your life becomes significant. Isn't that exciting? Let's say where you work, there's a meeting. All of a sudden, twice as long as it probably needed to be, the meeting is over. Everybody gets up, starts to walk out, and they've left coffee cups, napkins, and trash. And you just decide, I'm going to clean that up. I'm not going to bellyache about it. It's not my job, but I'm going to clean it up in order to help people and honor God. You've just done ministry. And God will notice, and God's going to reward that. The fact is, the calling to salvation and the calling to service are the same. So when you are a believer, when you've stepped across this line, you weren't just called to be saved, you were called to serve. You're saved to serve, to make a difference with your life. When I pick up the kids from school, and now it's a little bit rote, you know, that they know the drill, but I like to ask the question, how did you make the world a better place today? And at first, I think we all want to be significant in a huge way, right? You know, I saved a burning orphanage today. Ran in and rescued all the children, you know. There was a car overturned on 41, and I went over there and flipped it over and pulled the person out. And so we were kind of struggling to go, did I do anything significant today? And then we had a conversation about anything. If we do it to help someone and to honor God, any small thing becomes significant and makes the world a better place. And I tell you what, having an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old who can say, I made the world a better place today because I held the door open for someone who was carrying a bunch of books into school. And I go, that's it. That's ministry. Can you imagine how that person feels if they carry in their books and they get up to the door and there's no one there to hold it for them? And that's the way you start your school day? I started school days like that. Wasn't a good way to do it. Anything you do, if you do it to honor God and love others, can be significant. Galatians 1:15. God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. Called me to serve him. This is your fourth purpose in life. The fourth calling on your life. You are called to serve. You're shaped to serve. You're made for ministry. So I'm going to share with you today the four benefits that happen in your life when we begin to change our focus from self to service. The first thing that happens, serving others unselfishly will create joy in my life. In fact, it creates enormous amounts of joy. Most people look for happiness in all of the wrong places. You don't find happiness in pleasure, power, possessions, position, prestige. Popularity doesn't bring satisfaction. Success doesn't bring satisfaction. Sex doesn't bring satisfaction. Salary doesn't bring satisfaction. Status doesn't bring satisfaction, though, because those things are all temporary. For permanent, ongoing joy, it comes through service. By giving my life away, God wired us that when we give our lives away, the joy flows in. I reckon. Ooh, Dane, have we ever had a reckon? New territory. Pastor Dan, I reckon that most of y'all, this is going to be a good sentence, right? It's got reckon and y'all in it. This is going to be a great teaching point. Get your pencils out right now. This is going to be earth shattering. I reckon that most of y'all, woohoo, don't know the two secrets to joy. But because I love you, I'm going to give them to you free at no additional charge today. Number one, two secrets of joy. The first secret of joy, get the focus off of self. The more you focus on you, the more miserable you're going to be. It's not by accident, Harry, that the word miser and miserable come from the same root. You've got to shift your focus from inward focus. It's all about me. You don't know me. You don't understand my situation. Shift the focus from it's all about me to it's all about loving God and loving others. And when you do that, you have to know this is going against the grain. This is countercultural because everything in our society says it's all about you. Have it your way right away. Every advertisement says it's all about what you want. I'm going to give you what you, your heart's desire. We do it all for you. You're number one. You're the best. The customer is always right. But when you begin to give your life away, the more you give your life away to help others, guess what? The more joy flows in to your life.
good example of this is the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. He says, "My life is being poured out as a part of the sacrifice and service," there's those words, "I offer to God for your faith. Yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you." It is a fact of life that the most helpful people are the most happy people. So if you want to be happy, you've got to be helpful. The more helpful you are, the more happy you are. The more self-centered you are, the more unhappy you're going to be in life. That's the way it works. So joy floods into my soul when I begin to give it away. What if, maybe, God wired the universe that the more unselfish you are, the more joy flows into your life? Here's a blunt one. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, "Forget about yourself long enough to lend a helping hand." Maybe that should have been our memory verse this week. It's shorter. Forget about yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. If you lack joy in your life, you're not happy right now, start serving, start helping. Start finding a place where you can volunteer to give part of your time away and get nothing in return. Do something that you don't get paid for. Just give it away. God didn't put you on this planet just to live for you. We've got to give back. We're here to make a contribution. We're here to be unselfish. That's where the joy comes from. Number two, the other way that joy comes in is when I use my gifts to help others. Joy comes from getting the focus off of myself, and joy comes from using my gifts to help others. When you use the gifts that God gave you, you help others, and it makes you here. Dottie, in about half an hour, you're going to be back sitting back here, right? Wherever Ginger tells you to sit, you're going to sit there. And you're going to be serving people breakfast, and some young person is going to come in, and they haven't eaten, Dottie, for like 75 or 80 minutes, right? So they're going to, this thing, they're going to say, "I'm starving," right? And you're going to put out a plate of something, whatever we got today, you know, and their eyes are going to light up because you went back there and you fed everyone in here. And how does that make you feel when you're feeding everybody in this church? Fabulous, right? The joy comes in when we're pouring out to help others. There you go. I reckoned that y'all didn't know the two secrets to joy, but I reckon that now y'all know them. Where were we? We were having a sermon in the middle of a sermon. Okay, number two in your outline, serving others unselfishly will create not only joy in my life, but it will improve my relationships. And boy, do some of us need this one. Your relationships will get better the more you learn how to serve. And that's something we've got to practice at. It will improve my relationships. Why? Because the root of every single relational problem in your life is self-centeredness. There are other issues that come in, but the root is selfishness. I want what I want when I want it. And you want what you want when you want it, Arliss. And neither of us are willing to budge and give in and change. I want my way. You want your way, and that causes conflict. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride comes contention. In other words, when you have an ego, you're going to have conflict. Anytime you have a conflict in your relationship, ego is showing up, and you're not being a servant. You're being selfish. But the more we practice, the more we learn to get ourselves out of the way. Get a bigger perspective. Be unselfish. Be serving. It's going to change and improve every single one of your relationships. Because when you change, the relationship changes. And for all of you who just thought, well, that's what they need to do. Just for a second, would you like to borrow my mirror? Life is a lifelong task, the lifelong school of learning how to be unselfish. I reckon, again, most of us never learn this well. How many of us, and how many that we know, go through life living for self? The whole task of life, why God put you here, is to learn unselfishness. Why? Because God is love. And God wants you to learn to be like Him, loving. How do I learn to be unselfish? Two words: copy Jesus. Because He lived the most unselfish life ever. Matthew 20, verse 28. Your attitude must be like that of Jesus. For He did not come to be served, but to serve. When you take on the attitude of Jesus, you begin to live your life not for the benefit of yourself, but you begin to live your life for the benefit of others, to help others, to honor God. Two benefits happen. One, you become more like Jesus. And two, you're more loved, respected, and popular. If you want to have more friends, learn to be a servant. If you want to be more popular, learn to be a servant. Help me fill in the blank on this one. If you want people to love you and like you, respect you, learn. Don't try to be interesting. Be interested. Be interested in others. That's how you make it a party. Be interested in others, and they'll think you're the greatest person in the world, because everybody else is usually interested in themselves, right? Sitting around with a group of people and somebody tells a story, and what's the next thing that happens? Somebody wants to one-up it. Oh, that's something, but wait till you hear what I have to say, right? And then the next person goes, oh yeah, well, that's nothing, right? And we just go around and we've just said, look at how important I am. Look at how important I am. Look at how important I am. That's not interesting. That's everywhere. When somebody is finally interested in you, they're going to think you're the greatest conversationalist ever. Here's the cool part of this. The more I bless others, the more God blesses me. The more I serve others, the more God honors me. The more I bless other people, the more I minister to other people, the more God ministers to me. Proverbs 11:25 says it this way: the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. In other words, it's the principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever seed I sow, I'm going to get back. If I plant a seed, I don't get back one more seed. I get back a whole tree full of seeds. So if you start blessing other people, you get tons of blessings coming back. You start helping people, you get tons of help back. You get more than you bargained for. Blessing others gives me blessing. A common thing, Chuck, I think you ran into this a little bit when earlier in this year. People say, I'd really like to be involved in this thing, but I'm just too busy, right? I just don't have any time to be really involved. I'm just too busy. Okay. Except you forfeit God's blessing. You want God's blessing on your business? Can God bless selfishness? No? You want God's blessing on your business and your work so badly? God's asking, are you giving anything away? Or are you thinking only about yourself? Is it all about you? God asks, you think I put you on earth just to live for you? No, the more you give your life away, the more God blesses you. Proverbs 17:11, you do yourself a favor when you're kind. Isn't that interesting? You do yourself a favor when you're kind. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed. So if I want God's blessing on my life, I've got to be a blessing in other people's life. If I want better relationships, I've got to stop serving. Number three, serving others unselfishly will make my life meaningful. It's a big surprise. Maybe not everybody knows that. The only way you find meaning in life, the only way you find meaning in life is to give your life away. Meaning does not come from money. We think if we just get more money that my life will have more meaning. No. I've met, and you have too, dozens of millionaires, right? There's maybe a couple we could invite on the stage, and every one of them would tell you that money has many good uses. It can make life easier, it can give you opportunities, it can open doors, it can save you time, but it cannot give you meaning. Money cannot give you meaning. No amount of money is going to give your life meaning. Meaning comes from ministry, from giving it all away. Mark 8:35. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, Jesus says, and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Everything you do for Christ has a purpose. It may seem insignificant, and maybe no one else seems to know about it, but it's important. Why? Because God sees it. And you get rewarded for that in eternity. Brings me to the fourth reason. What will happen if I use my life to serve and bless others? If I switch the focus from it's all about me and switch the focus to how many people can I help? How many people can I serve? How can I honor God by helping others? It creates joy in my life. It improves my relationships, makes my life meaningful, and it will leave a legacy. You will leave a mark. Two legacies, one on earth, one in eternity. The one on earth, here's the real deal. It's not going to last very long. Because after about three generations, everybody forgets you. Fact. Grab one of your grandchildren, ask them how much they know about their great-grandparents. Given enough time, all of your trophies are going to be put in the trash. All of the things you think are so cool right now in two generations, nobody's going to care. Although, if anybody's got a size 34, 32 bell-bottom blue jeans, I'm interested. I still think they're cool. You may get your name on a building, but nobody's even going to ask who is that person on that building. Couple generations down the road, but the rewards you get in eternity are going to go on and on and on forever. Proverbs 10:7, good people will be remembered as a blessing. So let me ask, what are you going to be remembered for? Right? If you were to die tomorrow, would people say that person was a real blessing? This week, one of our sweet, faithful members, Marcia Russell, passed from this life to more life. And every single Sunday that Marcia Russell was in church, she had something sweet to say. She was grateful to be here. she was remembered as a blessing. I remember her kindness, her gentleness, how much she loved this church. How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered for being kind, generous? Or is somebody going to think, that person was pretty self-centered. They only had their goals. They only went after what they wanted. They didn't really care about anybody else. They had their agenda. They didn't really care about anyone else's needs. They weren't a good friend. They didn't take care of their family. They just lived their life. They did what they wanted to do. Is that how you want to be remembered? What do you want to be known for? Good people will be remembered as a blessing. The truth is, and if we were a hand-raising bunch, we would raise our hands. We all want our life to count. Right? Deep down inside, you want your life to have significance. You want your life to have meaning. Everybody wants that. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's how Jesus said you become great. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. The more you serve, the greater you're going to be. The more influence you'll have. We call it the Mother Teresa syndrome. Mother Teresa went to the poorest of the poor, the most outcast of the outcasts in Calcutta, to people who were on the street and dying. No one has less influence than people who are dying on the streets. And she began to take in the sick and the dying and care for them. She began to serve people who everybody else was stepping over and around. She went to the least influential people in life, and God gave her influence around the world so that she could walk into Congress and everybody would listen. She could walk into the United Nations and everybody would listen. If you want to be great, then we've got to learn to be a servant. You go to a bookstore. The bookstore I go to is called Amazon.com. And for every 500 books on leadership, maybe you'll find one book on being a servant. We've got our values all upside down. The way that we become great is by giving it away. If you want to leave a legacy, then we need to start serving. Unselfishly, doing something with your life that you don't get something back for monetarily. So we got three choices with our life. You can spend your life, you can waste your life, you can invest your life. The best use of your life is to invest it in that which outlasts it. There are only two things that are going to last in this world: the Word of God and people. So if we build our life on the Word of God and people, then we're building our life on things that will last. Let's pray. Dear God, would you help us to understand that you have shaped us and wired us not to be selfish, but to be selfless. Would you guide us and help us to serve others so that we might have joy in our lives? Would you help us to serve others so that we can improve our relationships? Would you help us to live for you and honor you and serve others unselfishly so that our lives will have meaning? And God, would you help us by staying focused on you to leave a legacy in this life and the next? This is our prayer. We pray it in the name of Jesus, the one who taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." this time, will the ushers please come forward as we offer our lives and our tithes to God. God, you give us so much. As we pause just for a moment to count our blessings, we realize that our hearts are full and our lives are full because you love and you love and you love us. So in response, we say thank you by giving to you us. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Would you help us to love you, honor you, serve others, and make this world a better place? This is our prayer in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah, you can stay. I'm trying to figure out if I should have you up or down. Stay up. Let's stay up. That'll be good incentive for a... Okay, you got these? Show me if you got one. Aren't they beautiful? They're really nice, right? Matt and Nissa did a really beautiful job on these. They're not for you, right? I mean, they would look awesome on your refrigerator, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is for you to invite someone. We're having communion service this Thursday to remember the Last Supper, a Good Friday service, and I need help. The way that we handle our Good Friday service is that we read the scriptures of the passion story of Jesus. And it would be fine, probably, for me to get up here and do all the scripture readings, but it would be best if you all would read some of the scriptures. And so if you're willing to read a small passage of scripture on Good Friday, would you please check in with the church office this week or talk to me after the service, and I'll make sure I got your name and your phone number, and we'll get you that scripture in advance. And that's a beautiful, very meaningful service. Saturday, I'm excited about this. We are partnering with Church Alive. Pastor Nelson has this beautiful vision for an outreach event Saturday out here in the front yard. We need volunteers for that. It's going to be family friendly and super. There's going to be music and free food. And Sal, there are going to be bounce houses for you. And then Sunday, you know the drill. I'm wanting you to invite folks here on Sunday. Do you hear me asking you, saying, I need you to invite people on Sunday? Here's the deal. When you bring them, they don't know that that's your parking spot or that's your seat. Love them anyway.
So help me, if I'm standing up here and I watch one of you go up and go, excuse me, that's my seat. Woo!
Ginger's going to have you go pick out a switch. It is an honor to be in worship with you. And I know it's that time of year when some of you are getting ready to head north. And so we'll look forward to having church with you online. And we'll look forward to seeing you back in the fall. But whether you're staying or you're going, as you leave this place, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, go with expectation and hope because God is sending you. And wherever you are, trust that God has put you there. That God has purpose in putting you there. And the purpose that God has for you is this. Christ, who lives inside of you, has something that he wants to do in you and with you and through you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, believe this. Hold on to the truth that is God's grace, God's love, and God's power. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Lord bless you all real good. Amen. Amen. We'll see you at breakfast.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength.